This is God's Anointed Now Generation. We are bringing you a powerful podcast from Victor Arch La Puente. As you listen, we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and envisioned through this life-changing message.
Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty.
Remain standing. Grab your Bibles. Turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 54. Amen. It's great to see everybody here tonight on a Wednesday night, Now Generation service. Amen. And we want to encourage you to keep on coming out every Wednesday night because it's just getting better and better, and God's just moving in a powerful way. Isaiah 54, and we're going to read one of our promised scriptures, verses 2 and 3. Enlarge the place of your tent. Somebody say enlarge. And let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left. And your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Tell three people, give them a high five and tell them, enlarge your mentality. Repeat after me. Say, I want to enlarge my mentality. There was a man walking through the inner city of Hong Kong. As he was walking through the streets of Hong Kong, he came upon a tattoo shop. And he saw in the window displays of samples of tattoos that were available. On your body, it showed that you can have dragons, faces, whatever. I mean, the craziest thing you can put on your body. But out of all of the tattoos that was there, there was one that struck him the most. It was three words that could be tattooed on one's body. And that these three words said, born to lose. So he entered the shop with an astonishment and asked the Chinese tattoo artist, does anyone really have the terrible phrase, born to lose, tattooed on their body? The Chinese tattoo artist replied, yes, sometimes. The man replied, I just can't believe that. That anybody in their right mind would do that. The Chinese man simply said, before tattooed on body, tattooed on mind. And what that's saying right there is saying that your mentality has a lot to do with the life you're living. That before you do anything, it starts there in your mentality. It starts there in your mind. That word mentality means a habitual way of thinking. That you already have a certain thought process. And that you even already have a certain way of how you think of yourself. You have a certain way how you view yourself, how you think of yourself, the type of mentality that you have. You already have that tonight. And I want to mention four types of people who have four different types of mentality. And you might find yourself in one of these categories, but I pray by the end of the night that God will begin to enlarge your mentality. The first one is that the first person has a closed-minded mentality. That means they think small of themselves. That means they don't believe in themselves. That means they believe that they have nothing to offer. They can't do nothing. They have no gifts, no talents. They believe that they're very, very small and they're minded. These type of people have lots of insecurities and complexes about their life. They're very people that are withdrawn. You find themselves isolated. You find themselves just like in the corner because they have a small mentality. They think very small of their life. And you must understand that having a small mentality can stifle or stagnate your life and your ministry as well. A second type of mentality is somebody is what I call a can't see mentality. See, these are the people that are blind. These are the people that are blind to God's vision, God's plan for their life. They have no clue. They have no direction. They don't have no purpose. They wake up purposeless because they can't see the direction, the purpose, the plan that God has for them. They're living a life without vision. And because of that, they're depressed. Because of that, they're frustrated. Because of that, they wake up with no motivation. They're confused with their life, always wondering or dreaming, but never taking any action because they can't see. They don't know where they're going. They don't have no direction. If you don't ask them, what's your vision? What's your plan? What's your purpose? They'll tell you, I don't know. I can't see it. I don't know what it is. And even though you may find yourself, you're a young person in Jeremiah, that he formed you. He knew you before you were even formed in your mother's womb, meaning that he already had a plan for you. He already had a destiny for you. He already had a vision for your life. And all it takes for us is to open our eyes and discover what God has for us. See, the three results for those who cannot see their vision for their life is frustration, boredom, and regret. Some of you tonight that you may be over up in age, maybe in your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, and throughout this whole time, you've never discovered your vision, your plan, your purpose, and because of that, you're frustrated with your life. You're bored with your life. You have regrets because of the things that you thought you could have did, but you never did. But I tell you what, if you would just grab a hold of God's plan and God's purpose, God's able to turn that around and give you the rest of your years and make an impact through your life. Helen Keller said this, what could be worse than being born without sight? Being born with sight and no vision. So this morning, you can see fine. Maybe you need glasses. But if you have no vision, then you're spiritually blind. You're blind. You're blind to what God has for you. The third type of person, or the third type of mentality, is a carnal mentality. These people have the mentality of the world. Means all they have are fleshly thoughts. They love the world. The Bible, Paul says, Demas has forsaken me for loving this present world. Maybe you're here tonight and you have a carnal mind. You're not saved. You're not serving the Lord. And these type of people, they're the type of people that they want to have a carnal mind. See, at least the person that's blind, they don't know any better because they're blind. They're blind to the things of the Lord. They're blind. They want to get out. They want direction. They want purpose, but they just can't see it. But this type of person, they're involved in sin. They love to feed themselves fleshly desires. And this type of carnal mentality is somebody that has a mentality of the world, the way the world thinks. Because I want you to know something, the way the world thinks and the way the people of God think are totally opposite. It's totally opposite. The world says get all you can. Get everything you can. But the Bible says give all you can. The world says be proudful. Don't let anybody down you. Don't let anybody take away your pride. But the word of God says be humble. I will humble the proud, but I will exalt the humble. There's a difference between the world and the Christian. And there's people here tonight that you may have a carnal mentality. But Romans 12 verse 2 says this, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. He may come in here tonight and you may have a carnal mind, meaning you may have a carnal mind that's, you're addicted to something. You're addicted to drugs. You're addicted to getting high. You're addicted to alcohol, to cigarettes. Maybe some of you are addicted to lust. You're addicted to something. I want you to know something, that God is here to set you free tonight. God is here to deliver you tonight. God is here to set you free from drugs, from alcohol, from cigarettes. God is here and he's able to do a miracle in your life. The fourth mentality, and I believe we should all strive for this, is a Christ-like mentality. Philippians 2 verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. See, we need to have the mentality of Christ. You know what his mentality was? It was found in the book of Mark chapter 16, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. See, his mentality wasn't small. It wasn't blind. That one statement showed that it wasn't small. It wasn't blind nor carnal. small because he knew, hey, I'm called to reach the world. I'm not just called to one particular thing. No, the world. That's a big mentality right there. Blind. He knew what his mentality, he knew what his vision was to preach the gospel. That was his vision. Hey, go into the world and preach. And it wasn't carnal because he did it because of the fact that, hey, it was to win souls, to see them saved. And see, you and I, we need to enlarge our mentality. Like I said earlier, the mentality means a habitual way of thinking. But the word enlarge means to increase the size, the amount or extent of something, or become larger or become broader in scope. What I'm talking about tonight is that we need visionary people that will take the cap off the normal and begin to enlarge their mentality. We need people that would match the vision that God has given to us. We don't have a little calling, so that means we don't have a little vision. But God has given Victory Outreach, God's anointed now generation, a global calling, which means that we should have a global vision. See, if you have a little vision, that means little is done and little is accomplished. I have a vision, but it's small. That means little is done, little is accomplished. Because you're thinking, man, what's life? Why? I'm just living. I'm just trying to make it. I'm just trying to serve God. And that's great in the beginning stages of your Christianity. But I believe there comes a time. And I pray tonight will be the turning point in your life where there comes a time where it says, I just don't want to just live life normal. I don't want to just barely get by. I don't want to just barely to always have struggles and always have hang-ups, man. But I want to live in victory day after day. I want to have my life mean something so that when I die, the man, that man, that guy, that person, that young person had an impact in this generation. So many men in the Bible that had visions that God's given them, they made an impact in their generation. Will you make an impact in your generation? Will you make a difference in your generation? Or will you just settle for the regular, normal, just getting by? I believe there's people here that just settle for whatever. They just settle for the normal, regular, barely getting by. And I believe there's four reasons why they settle. And maybe you can find yourself, maybe, man, you're saying like, man, I wanna do great things, but you're just settling for the normal. You're settling for the average. Why do you settle? I believe the first person of why people settle is because of pressure. Some people don't like pressure. And so when you have a vision, when you have a calling, what happens is that calling, that vision makes you accountable. Because you have to say it, and because you have to say it, that means you have to commit yourself to it. And when you commit yourself to it and when you speak it, all of a sudden that means the pressure is on. And a lot of people don't like pressure. That's why people don't even get saved. Because they don't like the pressure that comes with it. They think this, if I get saved, man, that means, man, I really got to serve God. And I don't think I can, and I don't want to be a hypocrite. How many used to say that? I don't want to serve God because I don't want to be a hypocrite and this and that. That means the pressure is on. So some people don't like pressure. Some of you, man, I'm called to preach the gospel, but if I say it, that means the pressure's on, because then all of a sudden, if I don't do it, then I'm made a fool. They say, man, what happened? You know somebody like that, that says a lot of stuff, but don't do nothing? They have all kinds of dreams, ideas. I mean, they have ideas. I mean, a dime a dozen, but nothing ever happens. And the reason why some people don't accomplish the vision for their life is because they don't like the pressure. A second reason why people settle is because of fear of failure or fear of the unknown, meaning that people are afraid to fail. People are afraid of the unknown. These are people that they don't want to achieve the vision because they're not willing to step out because they feel they might get embarrassed. They feel like, man, people might talk about it. And they feel like, man, that if something bad happens or something fails, then forget it. Man, what's the point? I'm going to fail anyway, so why even try? People's mentality is like, man, why go to church? I'm just going to keep on using drugs, so I might as well even stop going. Why get involved? I'm not going to do good. Man, I'm not even going to try. So many people, because the fear of failure and the fear of the unknown, it causes them not to step out and fulfill the plan and the vision that God has for their life. But I want you to know something. This is a fact. And I was sharing with the people on Discipleship Sunday morning is that no matter what, you're always going to fail. Once you settle that within your heart, you won't be afraid of it no more. Did you know, out of all the great sports players, they have more failures than successes? Give you two examples that are related here as far as our home, Dodgers and Lakers. Some of the guys, he's not a part of the team no more. But Jerry Fisher, remember him? If you would look at how many times he made and how many times he missed, tripled the times he missed than the points he made. But the one success, I think it was 0.4 seconds, that's all that mattered. All that mattered was one success that turned the whole game around. One shot. That one shot erased all of his failures. That one shot erased all of his mistakes. That one shot erased everything that everybody had negative about him. They said, hey, that's Jerry Fisher. You talk about him right now? Hey, that's the guy that made it in 0.4 seconds. That erased every mistake, every failure homeboy had. The Dodgers, Kirk Gibson, 1988. You count how many strikeouts he had, was quadrupled the hits that he had. But in the ninth inning, against the Oakland A's, two outs and three balls and two strikes. But because of one hit, one success, that one success totally outcovered all of the mistakes, all of his failures, all of his strikeouts. You don't remember Kirk Gibson as a strikeout king. You remember Kirk Gibson as a home run king that made the Dodgers win the championship. And what I'm trying to tell you tonight is that despite all your failures, despite all your mistakes, that one shot, that one hit, that one chance that you rise up with a race, and nobody, not even the devil himself, can bring up your mistakes or failures. Why? Because through Christ, we were able to accomplish great things for the Lord. So don't let failure stop you, my friend. Because that one success would erase all of them. That one hit, that one shot. Doesn't matter anymore how many shots you missed. Because you made the most important one. And the most important one tonight that you need to make is fulfilling the vision that God has for your life. Another reason why people settle is because of the fear of criticism. People have a fear of being talked about. People don't like being talked about. People get mad, right? You get angry, right? Get bittered when you're getting talked about. I get talked about a lot, all the time. You know what I tell the person who wants to talk about me? Get a number, get in line. I got a whole line. If you're going to talk about me, trust me, I think we're on the number of 1,000,101. Get in line. See, the bigger the vision, the bigger the criticism. The bigger the calling, the bigger the criticism. You can't let criticism stop you. If it will stop you, then you need to grow and mature in the things of the Lord. Lastly, as far as why people settle, and I think this has to do with a lot of young people in this generation, is not willing to pay the price. And this is why they don't fulfill the vision that God has for them. Because they're not willing to pay the price in their commitment, in their sacrifice, in their disciplines. They're not willing to pay the price and count the cost and say, hey, this vision is worth every price that I pay. And we have to pay in our commitment. We have to pay in our sacrifice. We have to pay in our disciplines. But I believe tonight that if you would rise up and say, you know what, I'm willing to pay the price. I count the cost, and I believe that the vision is worth every price that I pay, every commitment I make, every sacrifice I give, every discipline that I do. I know that this vision is greater than me and beyond me because God has something special for my life, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to see that come reality. See, God has given you a vision, and I believe there's six steps. There's a six-step process in order for us to fulfill the vision that God has for us and that God has given us as far as collectively and also individually. God has given this ministry a worldwide vision. God's given this church a worldwide vision, but also God has given you a personal vision. And number one, the first step is, number one, is that you need to identify the vision that God has for you. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, for I know the vision, and I'm going to place the word plan with the word vision, so I don't want you to think that this ain't in translation. I just replaced the word, but it means specifically the same thing. It says, for I know the vision I have for you, declares the Lord, a vision to prosper you and not to harm you, a vision to give you hope and a future. See, God's vision for his people is a specific and unique calling that gives us direction, passion, and hope. See, when you have vision, vision gives you clarity. Meaning, when you have a vision, you're not confused. You know where you're going. You're not blind. You know the direction you have. It's like when you're trying to go somewhere, you have the directions. It's not like when you're driving, you don't know where you're going. You're getting lost. You're like, man, I don't know where I'm going. But when you have a vision, you're not confused. You're not misdirected. But you know you're hitting the mark. You know you're on the way of the vision that God has for your life. Secondly, vision gives you confidence. It gives you confidence. Like, hey, man, I got something to live for. Man, I got confidence. I'm somebody. I'm not a nobody. The Bible says that God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. What does that mean? What does that mean? God has called us despite how foolish we were in the world. God chose us. God anointed us. God appointed us to do great things for him. And that gives us confidence. Thirdly, vision keeps us focused. Meaning when you have a vision, you don't get easily distracted. A lot of young people and even people, adults and parents get easily distracted because they don't have a vision. But vision keeps you focused. A lot of people get distracted with girls, with guys, with trials, money, worldly opportunity. They're called by God, but all of a sudden a great job offer opens where you get benefits and you get so much amount of money, but it'll take you away from church. It'll take you away from your ministry. All of a sudden, because of the fact that you don't have the vision, you'll go with, and all of a sudden you'll decline in your walk with the Lord. But if you have a vision and you know God has given you a promise, God's given you a purpose, God's given you a plan, you can say no to the worldly options and say, hey, I don't have to have any of those things because what God has for me is greater than anything the world can offer me. And also God will provide in the midst of me fulfilling his plan for my life. Fourthly, also vision creates joy. When you have a vision, you don't get bored. You don't get bored. It's actually the opposite. It's exciting to fulfill the purpose. You look forward to it every day. When you wake up, you're motivated. When you go to sleep, you're motivated. When you're eating, you're excited. When you're talking to people, it's joyful. It's like, man, there's something burning inside of you that it creates a joy. It creates a hip in your step. It creates a smile on your face. It's something inside of you that no drug, no alcohol, no money, no car, no girl, no guy, nothing can give you, but only God himself could put inside of you. Fifthly, vision empowers perseverance. See, when you have a vision, it empowers you to persevere until the end for the long haul. You won't give up. You won't throw in the towel because you say, hey, I have a vision. I can't give up. I can't throw in the towel. You know why people give up? It's because they forgot the vision that God had for them. You know why people throw in the towel? It's because they forgot the purpose that God had for them. They got caught up. They got distracted. They got sidetracked with the world, with the lies of the enemy. But if you always have a vision in front of you, you won't throw in the towel. You won't quit. Even though you may go through hard times, you may go through trials, you may go through storms, and we've all been there. Oh, but you hold on to the calling. You hold on to the vision. You hold on to the promise and say, though he slay me, yet will I trust God. Oh, even though the flood may come against me, the Bible says that God will raise a standard against it, even though a weapon may form, but it shall not prosper. Why? Because I'm holding on to what God has for my life. The vision, it helps you persevere. It helps you keep going forward. It's like, man, I got something worth not only living for, but also something worth dying for. And that's why in our ministry, people have sacrificed their life, their family, finances to fulfill the vision. That's why they find themselves in another city, in another state, in another country, in another continent. Why? Because they want to fulfill the vision that God has for them. The second step in order to fulfill the vision is two, you must be exposed to the vision. See, vision forms in the hearts of those who are dissatisfied with the way things are. And that's why our pastor and our ministry, Victory Arch International, has a vision for the world. Because back in the days, over 40 years ago, society was satisfied with drug addicts. Once a drug addict, always will be a drug addict. But God put inside our pastor's heart, our founder's heart, that man, he's not satisfied. Like, I don't believe that lie of the enemy. Once a drug addict, always a drug addict. No, God's able to do a miracle. God's able to bring a change and deliverance. And so because of that, we're still having that vision, that preaching the gospel throughout the whole world, reaching hurting people in the inner cities of the world. Why? Because there's a vision burning inside of us, and that vision challenges us to do what we thought we couldn't do. I never thought or dreamed I could preach behind this pulpit, but I tell you what, when something bursts inside your spirit, when God gives you a calling and anointing, God will give you boldness. God will anoint you. God will use you to do what you thought you could never do. Many of you here tonight had that same type of mentality. Thought, man, I can't do it. I don't know. I'm scared. It's impossible. Man, what God has for me is bigger than me. Of course it is. That's why it's a God-sized vision. It makes us humble. It makes us have faith. It draws us to our knees and say, God, without you, I could do nothing. But you got to be exposed to it. I mean, you got to get around it. You got to get around it. What I mean by getting around it, there's things that are available that you got to get around it in order to grab a hold of it. Saturday, for instance, go to the streets. You hear us preaching the gospel, but you got to get there. You got to be there in order to experience it. You can watch videos. You can hear testimonies. But if you're never exposed to it, if you're never around it, you'll never get it. You'll never get it. You can hear all the testimonies, watch all the videos. But if you're not right in the middle, in the mix of it, you won't grab a hold of it. You got to be exposed to it. We're trying to expose you to the things that God has for your life because we believe in people. We want to see people rise up and fulfill the call of God upon their life. We want to see people do great things for the Lord. I believe in people. Our pastor believes in people. God believes in people. We believe in the outcasts. We believe in the misfits of society. We believe in the people that the world will throw them to the side. We believe in those types of people that nobody else, not in your own family, your own mother believed in you. Oh, but because God has a vision for your life. That's why we believe in it. That's why we're doing it. That's why we're around it. That's why we're still preaching. That's why we're still witnessing. That's why we're still testifying. That's why we come here to church, because we believe in it. We believe in you. Yeah, you, even if it's your first time here tonight, it's not by coincidence why you're here tonight, because God wants to set you up to let you know that he believes in you. He believes in you, that you can do great things for the Lord. Thirdly, after being exposed to the vision, you need to start participating in the vision. This means involvement. See, a lot of people will go, be around it, but they'll never participate in it. They'll go to the streets, but they'll just be on the sidewalk. But you got to get involved. You got to start witnessing. You got to be a part of a ministry. You got to start praying for it. You got to start giving towards it. I'm a believer that, and I believe this with all my heart, that we should put our money where our vision is. I'm a firm believer in that. That if this is your vision, then it'll show up through your giving. Then if you don't give towards it, then trust me, it ain't your vision. But if you are giving to it, that means you got it. That means you're participating in it. When you participate in the vision, it requires courage and confidence to commit. You see, there may be people here tonight of why they don't participate in the vision is because they make excuses. They make excuses for everything. They make excuses of, man, you know what? I can't do it because I'm too tall. I'm too short. I'm too skinny. I'm too big. I don't have the right clothes. I don't talk right. And you know, I don't, they have all these excuses, all these handicaps. I'm not there. I don't know. I don't know if I can make it. I'm too shy. I'm too scared. I'm too fearful. I talk too much. No, I never shut up. You know, all these things, all kinds of excuses. Are those other people? They're not excuse makers, but actually they're accusers. They blame others for why they're not doing anything. They blame leaders. They blame their parents. They blame the church. They blame the pastor. They blame even God. Well, God, if you never would have allowed this to happen, then I would never run from you. I would never, but because you allow, I'm blaming you, blaming everybody of why you're not accomplishing the vision that God has for your life. I tell you what, you could be dead in your grave blaming everybody. But what counts is this, that you rise up and say, hey, take ownership of your own life and quit blaming that person and that person and say, you know what? I'm making a commitment tonight to fulfill the call of God upon my life. Which leads me to the last person as far as participating in the vision is somebody who chooses to fulfill God's call upon their life. And they believe God despite of their obstacles. They know they got hangups. They know they got struggles. They know they got fears. They know they got past mistakes. But this person chooses, despite all their obstacles, despite all their shortcomings, they choose to say, you know what? Regardless of whatever hangups I have, I'm going to fulfill the call of God upon my life. And I'm going to surrender and allow God to change me and mold me and shape me from the inside out so I'm able to be that man or woman of character and conviction so that I can fulfill the call of God upon my life. See, dreamers dream about things being different. Visionaries envision themselves making a difference. Dreamers think about how nice it would be for something to be done, where visionaries look for an opportunity to get something done. Who do you want to be tonight, my friend? You want to be somebody that just watches everybody do something? You're right there on the sideline, and you're not even cheering. You're just watching. You're just spectating. Or do you want to be a participant? Somebody that's in the game. Somebody that's helping winning touchdowns, hitting home runs. You want to be somebody that's right there, not on the bench, but you're right there in the game, making a difference, making your life count. The fourth stage of taking ownership of the vision is that, fourthly, you begin to internalize the vision. This is where you start to take ownership of the vision. You realize it's not the pastor, it's not the church, it's not your leaders that are called, but you are called as well. The vision is inside of you too. It has consumed you. You speak vision, you eat vision, you dream vision, you sleep vision. I mean, it's just consuming inside you. It has internalized inside your heart and your spirit. It's inside you. That when you get around you, man, it just comes out of you automatically. What are you tonight? Are you a great person? An average person? Or below average person? Below, great people talk about vision. Average people talk about ideas. Below average people just talk about people. Because they don't got no reason to live. So they talk about all the other people that have visions. And they criticize everybody else. But they're criticizing them. They're criticizing all these other people for the thing they very lack but want. They're criticizing people with vision. It's because they don't have it themselves. And my friend, I'm trying to encourage you tonight that God has a vision for your life. And that vision needs to be the driving force within us. It needs to be the driving force within you. Fifth stage is fulfilling the vision. Acts 26, verse 19, Paul says, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. This stage means you're going out. You're doing it. You're acting out on the vision. You're in the mix. You're right there. You're fulfilling it. You're doing it. And like I said earlier, you must realize that the vision that God gives us is always too big for us to handle. Why? Because God wants us to have faith in order for us to see it come to pass. God wants us to have faith, dependency upon Him. For if we don't need Him, then it's not a great vision from God. If we can do it in the natural, then it's not a great vision for God. For why would we need God if we can do it in our own strength? Oh, but God wants to give you something that's bigger than yourself. Something that's bigger than you ever dreamed or imagined. Why? So that you can put your complete trust and faith in God. Caution. Don't ever let ability or talent replace your faith. Don't ever let ability, talent, replace your faith. Doesn't matter how great you preach, how great you sing, how great you testify, how great you dance or rap. That will not require or fulfill the vision that God has for you. The only way the vision is going to come to pass is through faith. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And lastly, After you're fulfilling the vision, lastly, this is where you start becoming contagious with it. You start becoming contagious with the vision. I'm not talking about being contagious with the sniffles or cold or flu, stomach flu. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being contagious where you're imparting and transmitting the vision to other people. You're giving it to others. You're transmitting the vision to others. The Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospels and make disciples of every nation. That means that He's called us to go into the world and transmit it to others. He's called us to give it to others, to impart it to others, to be a model for others. He's called us to go out there and begin to just give it to other people. If we want to see a great church rise up, in order for that to happen, it's going to take great people to rise up and pass it on to others. It's going to take great men and great women. They're not going to just hold it on to themselves and not just be just singularly driven, but we're going to be collectively driven. Meaning giving it to others, passing it on, discipling others, transmitting to others, praying for others, giving it to others. Why? Because God has called us to preach the gospel into all the world. And I believe God has called you. I believe God has called everybody here tonight to be a part of this great vision that God's given to this ministry, to our church, to our pastor. And you may just be a piece of the puzzle, but that piece is vital. That piece is worth something. That piece completes the entire puzzle. That's why God is challenging you now to rise up and fulfill the vision and the calling that God has for your life.